welcome to Solo Adventures
Together,
the podcast where I, Nurse Huckleberry, and you,
Tutor Vio,
send each other to mysterious and unknown events found online.
You make it sound so scary.
It's not scary at all. Nope, you gotta know the time, the dress code, when it's happening.
I mean, day of, you figure out, you know what it is.
You gotta know what it is.
Right. And this last one, so some of the previous ones, if you're new to the show, mm-hmm. or maybe you do know, we've done like space blasters.
Yeah, you went to a space blaster workshop.
Right, and you've been to a
tea party.
Tea party.
I went to figure drawing last episode. Well, we go back and forth. And so it was your turn to go to an event.
My turn. And this time it was a little bit more complicated because we had multiple events that happened on the same day.
Oh my God, what a fiasco.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much you want to delve into that, but
I made Deuter late because I got the timing mixed up.
It's okay, we
were both late, which I appreciate you very much for driving me. I got my call time mixed up for a burlesque event.
Right, so you were doing the door.
Yeah, I was working the door.
Working the door at a burlesque event.
And I thought I was supposed to be there at 7, which was the call time for my previous burlesque event, which is why I got them mixed up. But I actually needed to be there at 6:15, except I didn't. I got there at like 6:45. And they were like, you're right on time. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever.
Meanwhile, the event that I needed to go to was about a 40-minute drive from here and a 20-minute drive from there. Luckily, it was on the way, and I was 30 minutes late, but it's okay. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
I didn't think it was going to be, like, a super big problem.
Well, that's why
I
asked.
You didn't even stay for the whole length of the event.
I stayed the as long as they told me to leave.
Well, I know, but yeah. The event, it said that it went from 6:30 to 8:30.
Yeah, I mean...
And I think you were done at, like, 8.
Well, I mean, that's why I asked how long it was, because if 30 minutes is a small portion of it, then it's not that big a deal. But if it's, like, a 45-minute
right.
event and I'm 30 minutes late, like, that's not going to be worth
it. No, and I didn't think it would be a problem if you were late.
So what was the event that I went to this week?
I sent you to a vision board workshop.
Yes, vision board workshop.
Vision board workshop. It was held at, like...
A plant shop
that's like, it's like plant and home stuff. We went there one time, and it's a really cute
plant
shop.
It's a very cute shop.
And I thought the plant shop was going to be open, but you said it wasn't.
No, it closed at 6. And then they did the thing outside at the plant shop where they had it all set up on one big table, and it had like, it was covered in like paper. Mm-hmm. So then, and they had scissors and glue for everybody.
Which, let me read the description of the event.
Sure. It was a super, like, so walking into the place, it had, like, a private event sign. So I knew I was at the right place. I didn't know that they had closed already, though. And I walked in, and I, like, kind of just looked around, because there were people sitting at a table. I didn't know if that was it. It mm-hmm. seemed like it was. And I kind of just wandered over there, and one person was like, oh, are you here for the vision boarding? And I was like, oh, yeah, I am. And then she's like, you can check in with this lady. And I turn around, there's another lady behind me, and I'm like, hello. And then they're like, are you Shelby? And I was like, yes. Yes, I am. And then they're like, all right, great. And then I went over to the table.
Okay, so it says, what to expect. Join us at Tansy for an evening of creativity and goal setting just in time for summer. Mm-hmm. Grow the life you want. Join us for an inspiring summer vision board workshop with Carissa Kakmarik, where we'll gather in community to set intentions and create space for possibility. Whether you're new to vision boards or a seasoned creator, this workshop welcomes everyone. It's a chance to meet like-minded folks, tap into your creativity, and set your sights on the life you're ready to build, guided by the warmth, brightness, and expansiveness of summer. We'll provide the supplies, scissors, glue, poster boards, and a wide selection of magazines to fuel your imagination. You're encouraged to bring along any personal images, fabric, stickers, or meaningful items to speak to your unique vision.
I didn't know that part.
No, I forgot that. By the end of the evening, you'll leave with a powerful, one-of-a-kind creation to serve as a radiant reminder of your goals and dreams for the season ahead.
Yeah, and there'll be a picture of the vision board in the description. Check it out if you want to look at it now or as mm-hmm. we're talking about it, because everyone might not see the video of this and me pointing at stuff.
Yeah.
So the image is there. You can look at it right now if you want to.
Yeah. Which maybe we'll be
descriptive.
what's the word I'm looking for? Tactical in the way that we describe. We can go through things in an easy flow, maybe a right left to right situation. Oh,
yeah, that's good to say that,
or because clockwise or counterclockwise.
I was going to go in the order that I put it on there.
Right.
That wouldn't make sense.
No. Maybe we'll go, either clockwise or counterclockwise, something like that.
So being 30 minutes late didn't affect anything. I was there, and they're like, oh, here's your spot. Because they had it set up for all the people. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of magazines around. Probably, I would guess, maybe 50 magazines that they probably recycle. Mm-hmm. You know, they use them every time. But I found out that they only do those every couple of months. Like every quarter, they do a vision boarding. Every season or it might be every season. They kind of said like every couple of months. So I don't know how specific it is. Mm. But there were people there that were like, oh, yeah, I went to the last one. And like, this is the reason that I'm, you know, I'm so successful right now or whatever, you know, whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So, but it was a outdoor, a little bit windy, so I had to be mindful of the paper. Paper was blowing everywhere every once in a while. So I was like, while I was cutting stuff, I was taking like small, tiny scraps. I was kind of tucking inside magazines just so they didn't fly on the ground. I was trying to be mindful of that. I don't know if that was mean or not, because if someone opened the magazine, find 100 little pieces of paper. But
So I sent you to this one. I thought you'd really like it. One, we have a big move coming up.
Right.
We are going to be moving to the San Diego area from LA. And we're going to be moving into an actual house and not just an apartment. It's going to be more space. And we have a lot of gardening we want to do. We have a lot of ideas for what we want to do. And we've been talking a lot about integrating into like the community more and doing a better job of that. And I thought that this vision boarding would be something, A, that you would enjoy. And I really wanted you to have the opportunity to kind of, you know, put the vibes in a physical,
I am like, a very
visual,
physical person.
Yeah. And so I thought you'd really enjoy that aspect of it. I wasn't sure if I was really hoping that there would be enough stuff that you would agree with or would resonate with you, I guess I would say, not agree with, but would resonate with you and like the magazines that they chose, because I'm sure that they were pretty feminine leaning.
Well, there was such a large array of magazines. There was like Esquire, there was GQ, there was National Geographic. There were some like political magazines, there were some like travel magazines, some furniture ones. Like it was a pretty wide array of magazines. And it was funny to open them and flip to different pages and see where people have already cut stuff out. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what that was. But there was a lot of stuff that I found. And speaking of, why don't we just take a look at it? Let me grab, it's right here.
Oh, careful.
What?
Twist it up.
I can twist now.
Wow, he can twist now. Dude hurt his back.
I hurt my back putting on a pair of pants.
Yeah.
Or actually picking up a pair of pants off the ground. And it's been about a week. And I'm almost all the way recovered. I've still been babying it. But I can do light exercise and stretch and everything. And everything seems fine. Now I can get in and out of bed again.
Yay!
Yeah, I'm not walking like an old man and having anyone bully me.
Yeah, that'd be really terrible. Who would do that?
Like 400 people on the internet. All right. So I'll give you this to hold, right? So now's the time is where you can pull up the image if you'd like to, or you can just listen to me describe this.
So we're going to start at the top left and go clockwise.
We're going clockwise, okay.
Right, so starting at the breathe.
Starting at the breathe, yes. So a lot of this was very instinctual and just flipping through the magazines and seeing what resonated with me, really. And the breathing is really just a reminder to breathe. You know, there's a lot of stress and anxiety that not only is in the world right now, but that is tied to moving and all of that. And we've been living here for 6 or 7 years. So we have an entire collection of life in this house and memories and all of that stuff, and we have to move it all. And not that that's a bad thing in any way,
Mm-hmm. But it is stressful.
Reminding to breathe is a just take a second, you know, just really let it soak in. And that's covering. I cut out some various shapes, triangles of flowers that I then covered up with five stars, of course, because five stars is good. Mm-hmm. So five star breathing.
Yeah, right.
Which then there's a pretty sunset behind that. So it's like layers, right? Pretty sunset, mm-hmm. flowers, breathing five stars. It's pretty pretty self-explanatory. Like, it's not a super deep corner, but it is a meaningful corner.
So what I'm getting from this is that you are wanting to, you know, embrace nature,
yeah,
enjoy life,
air, breathing air,
maybe spending time outside.
Right.
You know?
Outside is good.
Outside is good.
And then the last thing over here is this little gym. So there were a bunch of, there were probably, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there were 6 other people besides the instructor and me. So there were 8 of us total.
How much instruction was there?
There might have been some before I got there.
Yeah.
There was 0 once I showed up.
Yeah.
They were like, there's your station, go for it. So I pretty much just said thank you and in silence started looking for stuff to cut out and cut out stuff in magazines. And then it wasn't till about halfway through that anyone kind of talked at all in any way. And it was because of these. There was a mother and a daughter. The daughter was turning 7 or 8, like this weekend. And she had brought this paper or like this sheet of gems, little gemstones of all different colors. And she would go every 10 or 15 minutes and offer some to everybody. Be like, do you want any gems? And so that's where the tree is. But, and then over here, that's where I started putting those. But then moving on, there's a big lemon.
Mm-hmm.
The lemon really spoke to me.
Right.
Okay?
Because we got a lemon tree now.
Yeah. And that ties into the gardening, mm-hmm. which then ties into a culinary journey, which is our basic life. Our life is a culinary journey.
It is. Our
job is a culinary journey. You know, we live a culinary journey. We're both very culinary people. And I feel like we've really sunken into that. In just the last couple of years, we've really explored together.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like for me, it was more, well, I would say that, like, it's been more a part of my life for more of my life, like all of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't necessarily want the cooking aspect to be a career for me. And it is. It is a career for me at this point. And while I mean, I don't know how much of the cooking aspect is your career, but you do have a lot of input.
I've learned a lot about cooking.
And you have learned a lot about cooking, mm-hmm. for sure. Also, I feel like every time, one of my favorite things about you is, like, you're such, like, a good role model to, like, other men in being a good partner, because everybody's always so surprised when you'll, like, cook dinner if I'm streaming mm-hmm. on the second channel, and you bring me over this, like, delicious bowl of food, and everybody's like, wait a minute, he can cook? Like,
well, I mean, there's a lot of things that I've learned from you, and that's why I think it's more of a culinary journey for me than it is for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of already had your culinary journey.
Right.
And you've already found, you know, what works and what doesn't for you. Especially with the celiac disease, like that was a whole different journey.
Oh yeah,
different culinary journey in that way. But I feel like for me, I've learned a lot about cooking and flavors and balancing things, and not just from bartending, but also from. We could just probably prop this up. You don't have to hold it unless you really want to hold it.
It's not uncomfortable.
Okay. Just really honestly watching you on the Nurse Huckleberry Show, because you don't really talk about what you do that often on the show, but I do see...
If people ask, then I explain, but there's not, like...
But I've learned a lot about flavor combinations and figuring out what you like, and that's shifted a lot of what I like and almost refined my palate a little bit, because for a long time, I kind of just ate whatever didn't matter. It didn't matter. I don't care.
It didn't matter.
It was fuel.
Yeah, it was kind of upsetting because I would make you something particularly delicious and you'd be like, oh yeah, this is so good. And then you'd make something so weird and you'd be like, ah yeah, this is so good. And I'm like, is my food trash?
No, they're both just good in different ways. They're both good in different ways. I could eat, well, I don't know. What's a weird thing that I would, like a tuna salad sandwich with honey on it?
I mean, honestly.
Or jam.
The jam is so much weirder than honey. A little honey is kind of whatever.
But they fill the same role.
No, they don't.
The sweet aspect. Yeah, it's the same role.
Yeah, but the honey, like a honey glazed tuna is not weird. A jam glazed tuna is not.
Would you eat fruit with tuna?
Pineapple, maybe.
Not with mayonnaise, though.
No, I
don't anyway, know. Anyway, so my culinary journey has been, and I want to continue on that journey.
I feel like your culinary journey has been much more winding than mine has.
Yeah, but up and downs. Lots of extremes.
Right, right.
Lots of
There's
extremes.
A lot of extremes.
Yeah. I'm an extreme person. Don't you know that about me? I do. Come on.
Okay.
So moving on, we've got Finger Looking Good. That's some celebrity. I don't know, but I like
I was going to say, is that Stranger Things girl?
No clue. I don't remember what the page said. Doesn't say anything on that. If I covered it up, if anything. But basically, it goes with the culinary journey. And the tennis racket is really nothing more than the lemon was attached to it, and I like the colors. But also activity, you know, wanting to be more active, wanting to be, especially since, like, the last year or two, since, you know, you left your standing job, and I left my standing job, we've been a lot more
sedentary.
I almost said sedimary. What's like the rocks?
Sedimentary,
yeah. We've been very sedimentary.
Very sedimentary. We've been slowly aggregating more and more. No, that's something that we definitely... We were talking about doing the... so there's this like challenge called the Hard 75, which we don't want to do. But
Too
I
hard.
Found this other one that's like...
Medium 66.
It's like medium 66, where instead of doing 75 days, we were like only eating whole foods and no alcohol, and you have to work out this much every day, and you gotta do this, and you gotta do that. And if you can't do it, then you have to, if you mess up
you
one day,
over.
You start over. And instead, the this like medium 66 is like, it's got things with like, do an hour of activity a day, an hour of exercise, but that exercise can just be walking.
Right.
Drink 16 ounces of water in the morning. No phone or no social media for the first hour and the last hour of your day. And then
clearly we haven't started yet.
And then with the food,
it's like a 20-80.
It's 90-10. 90% good whole foods, everything, 10% treats. And in that 10% treats, you can include alcohol if you are at a special occasion and you want to have a glass of wine.
Well, I think that's the thing that people forget is like, sure, you could go cold turkey and cut out all the bad stuff in your life, but like then it kind of strips a lot of joy and
well, it does, and it makes, speaking from experience with celiac disease, it makes going to events stressful when you don't know if there's going to be food for you to eat. So for me especially, like I might not know if there's going to be a food option, so I have to like prepare in advance and like eat something in advance and make sure that like even if everybody else gets to eat, like there might not be anything for me.
Well, even if it does say gluten-free options, it could just be like a fruit plate.
Right.
You know.
And so I think in that regard, if you're doing this Hard 75, where if you don't do the challenge, you have to start over and it doesn't allow room for treats, it also doesn't allow a lot of room for socialization. Like it's okay to, you know, like, you know, you should still be making quote good choices. And I'm a firm believer of everything in moderation, right?
Right.
If you only ate greens, that wouldn't be good for you either.
No. If you drank too much water, it wouldn't be good either.
Right.
Like I think we already have a good regulation. Like
diet,
we drink like maybe honestly at this point, like 3 to 4 drinks a week.
I mean, it's literally only on stream.
Well, I mean, I had that drink last night, or the other night before, like while we were sitting around.
Like, that
but it was just like a little bit of nice
unusual.
Rum on the rocks. Like
that's unusual though, because normally.
Right.
We only have like a drink on stream, and we don't really drink.
And usually pairs with the food in some way, or like you make a cocktail. Like you made a cocktail last night.
I made a cocktail last night.
And like that's the thing is like why strip that joy of creativity, and fun, and tasty drinks. You know, especially because you made the lemon shrub that was in there too.
Yeah.
And it was, you used fresh lemon juice that we squeezed from the lemons from the tree.
But
And you used the gin that was a gift.
Well, Yeah.
From the birthday.
From birthday. I do really like that gin.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just feel like with all of that, I'm starting to try this, you know, kind of soft 66 or whatever we want to call it.
Is it medium or is it soft?
I don't know. I don't remember what it's called. I'll have to look
it up. It's a half chub 66.
Half chub, chubbed up 66.
But anyway, we've been like thinking about the move because we're moving in less than a month now from mm-hmm. the time of this recording. And kind of like, you know, ideally, and this might be an extreme ideal, is that it is a hard reset almost of like habits because it's going to be a different setting. It's going to be different things. Everything's going to be in a different place, you know. Our bedroom isn't going to have access to all of the things it has to now because we're going to separate those things from the bedroom, and the kitchen is going to be farther away, and, you know, we'll keep stuff in the garage versus, you know, in the pantry and just certain things like that.
It's but Operation 66.
Operation 66.
Operation okay. 66.
Okay. Well, we'll be starting that in some time.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going here. So we've got this little shark. Mm-hmm. Shark, obviously, kind of a pseudo
mascot
of the show. We've got Otto, the celebrity shark chef. We've got the shark in the fridge. You know, we've got a shark costume. We've got all this. Bert's got his own shark costume. And I feel like, you know, if we think like metaphorically what a shark is, mm-hmm. right? They're like predators, but they're still like kind of misunderstood beasts. I see all these videos of people like petting sharks and stuff. And you're like, whoa, how are you petting a shark? And it's like, well, they're not going to eat you if you're not a threat to them. Well, they're not hungry.
Depends on the shark.
Right. But I feel like I've learned a lot about sharks recently and that they're not that crazy, weird.
No, more people get killed by cows than sharks.
Which is wild. then we move on to the hand that says we help, mm-hmm. right? So that ties into how we want to be more integrated in the community when we move mm-hmm. and wanting to give back to the community, even though, you know, we would just be joining it, but helping in some way and being a part of that.
Well, it's part of my one. It's a multifaceted approach. One, we're going to be moving to a new city, and so we will need to make friends, and we want to meet new people. And I think that volunteering is going to be an excellent way to meet new people. So I really wanted to do that. And then two, I do find that it's very fulfilling.
And I think that's the thing.
More
yeah,
fulfilling things that we've get been us missing outside
that.
The house.
We've been missing that here is fulfilling things. Because sure, Los Angeles does have community. I can't take that away from it.
Right.
But we are just not in the right place in the city to be a part of the community that we want to be in. And also, it feels like it doesn't feel right. I don't know.
I think we're disenchanted.
Well, we live in the middle of a city.
Right. But we're also, I think there's a bit of it where we're just disenchanted with LA right now, and especially where we live is very influencer focused.
Yeah.
And
influencer like, before quality.
Right. And I am interested, we both are very interested in doing kind of hands-on work in like working in nature and doing kind of restoration or ecological work. And that work is not happening within like a reasonable distance us.
It's so far away.
In LA right now.
I mean, like, anything green is fabricated around here, so.
Well, yeah, and there are places where you can go and volunteer, but it's like a 45-minute or hour drive for us, and especially when those things are always happening at 8 a.m. Why? Why they must happen at 8 a.m.? But they're always happening so early, and so it's like waking up for us. We have a very nighttime schedule. You know, our show goes from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., and you don't just go to sleep afterwards. You're so hyped.
No, I'd say average, regularly, we go to bed at 4 a.m.
At 4 a.m.
And so, then we wake up at noon.
So doing an 8 a.m. thing is just miserable. And so part of it is finding volunteer options that work with our schedule, because there's no point in volunteering and then being absolutely dead while we're there and then dead for the stream later. Like, we need to find things that are really going to feel good to us on both sides. And part of, and like we enjoyed, we volunteered at a thrift shop for a while during the pandemic, and we both really enjoyed that.
That was really fun, yeah.
We both liked that a lot.
But then they changed managers, and it was just not the same.
Yeah, it wasn't the same.
Yeah, that French lady was, she was nice.
Nyla, yeah, she was great.
Well, moving down here, this I picked all these words just because, I don't know, there's nothing crazy about the words.
You like the look of text.
I wanted the background, yeah. And then we got a flower. The fork was just really pretty. I don't know, it was elegant in some way. And then down here, we've got pairs well with pools, the words. And that is from the historic pool jumps that we do here, and the fact that the new living place that we're going to be doesn't have a pool.
No.
So one of the biggest priorities was to figure out how to do that. And if it's a kiddie pool or a slip and slide, something is going to get us nice and wet.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly me, yeah.
Mostly you.
And then the community I love just ties more with more being involved in the community and just being involved, really. It's just, it's...
Well, and you were telling me today that you signed up for an email list for, like, a milkweed to help the monarchs of planting milkweed and...
Well, yeah, and they also can give you sourced plants, like milkweed plants to plant in your...
Because I was saying that I wanted to plant milkweed up front.
I didn't realize that Well, I don't know...
We can curse as much as
I don't know. It just feels like I haven't cursed yet.
I know.
That 90% of monarch butterflies have died.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
I had no clue.
Oh, it's insane. Remember when I was saying that there aren't bugs anymore? I went on a little rant about pesticides, and that's why I was talking about like a mosquito bucket thing. And yeah, pesticides is crazy. The monarch butterfly is, that's why I was like, oh, I really want to put some milkweed up front. Because milkweed's not particularly pretty.
No.
It's not a very pretty plant, but it's wildly
But we important. Want monarch butterflies in the world.
Right. And they are hurting really bad.
Their I mean, that's the same reason why we want to plant wildflowers for bees and for other animals like hummingbirds.
Well, and not just wildflowers, specifically Southern California native wildflowers.
Yes, native wildflowers, yeah.
Like, because I...
Like the golden poppies, and what was the other one you wanted?
Golden poppies, lupine. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of species. There's some species of... like sunflower. Well, it's not, well, they call it like the San Diego sunflower, but
I want sunflowers like the big
coastal
ones.
Daisies. Mm-hmm. Those grow ice plants we could do that are native down there. There's a ton of native plants, and actually a lot of them are really beautiful. And so I'm going to be looking at some like San Diego seed collectives and see what ones I can find.
Well, there's like five or six different species of milkweed that are either native or grow really well in Southern California. So we'll have no shortage there.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to plant wildflowers. And they plant. And it's like, oh, these are wildflowers of the Midwest. Like, yeah, they are beautiful and they are wildflowers and they do grow here. But that does not mean that they're actually going to help the endemic species.
No, you want bugs and you want, you know, wildlife. And I feel like that's a stigma that I have been getting over very slowly, but finally getting there to where like...
Because you're not a big fan of bugs.
I'm not a huge fan of bugs, mostly because like they're mostly unpredictable. I don't know. It's, you know, what? Because like cats, you learn their personality and you're like, all right, great. I know what you're going to do most of the time. But like, you know, we've had a spider in the bathroom for the last year almost, probably. And he's been catching all the fruit flies or catching all the any bugs.
You know, it's true because before you probably would have asked me to either catch the spider and take him outside or kill it.
No, he's been thriving in there.
He's been totally thriving. He keeps trying to take up too much space, honestly. I had to knock down his
web. We got to trim his web.
A bit.
We got to trim his web a little.
Like, I'm like, all right, buddy, you're getting a little carried away.
But like, even with when we had visited our new house the last time, you know, I noticed how not, I guess scared would be the right word, of all the bugs. There were like beetles, there were ants, there were bees and flies and stuff crawling in the grass and stuff. I didn't know what it was. And I was like, awesome. Like, there's something healthy about this environment that attracts all of these bugs. Mm-hmm. And obviously there are not good bugs, and there are some bugs that will hurt a garden. But I feel like I've somewhat overcome my phobia.
Yeah. I do think that some of it probably, like, I'll say I'm a positive influence, and then I'm like, well, let's look it up and see what it does.
Right.
like
when I see a spider, I'm like, okay, let me look at it. It looks violent.
Violent.
Let me see what kind it is. Is it going to bite me? I don't know if I've ever been bitten by a spider. I probably haven't in my sleep or something, right? Where, like, you get a bite that looks like a mosquito bite, and it just doesn't go away as quickly, or it's bigger.
Yeah, I mean, like, lots of people, I've definitely been bit by spiders.
Right, we all eat spiders in our sleep.
That's not true.
I know. but like, it's been so educational to, like, figure out what these bugs do, and why they're there, and mm-hmm. what they can help. Like, I love mosquito hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hate mosquitoes.
Yeah, I'm not, yeah, there's a couple bugs that I'm, like, could do with
wasps, it. Wasps, I'm fine with. You know,
not having wasps.
Right, but you still need them.
Sure.
For other things to eat them. Or they eat.
They eat stuff too.
They eat stuff too. Yeah. And they're not necessarily concerned with humans that much. You know, they're not that, unless you bother them, unless you get in their way, you know, from being an absolute killing machine. Just an angry, violent, just not very nice.
I would say that they're actually violent. Like, the spiders being violent, and not so much wasps.
Spiders are defensive, whereas wasps are aggressive and offensive.
I mean, if you've ever seen a bunch of wasps land on a piece of meat, because they eat meat.
Oh, they tear it apart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're like, ah, I don't know about that.
You're like, eh. So wrapping up the last corner over here, there's just another flower representing some sort of growth, flowers, life.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. And then there's a blurry face, which resonated with me because, you know, life can be a blur.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to.
This guy looks styling.
He's styling, right? But he's behind all this stuff because, you know, I wanted it to be like a, you got to catch yourself in the blur and be like, all right, well, why is it blurry? And then you got to unblur it.
Mm.
You know
so
what I mean?
Focus.
Focus, not getting lost in doom scrolling or algorithms, and then the last, there's a little cocktail here, because, you know, I still have a love for...
We do love cocktails.
I love cocktails. And then we're all farmers now, because we're going to be little farmers.
Yeah.
Cute little farmers. And then in the middle, wrapping everything up, there's just a big tree covered in gemstones,
mm-hmm.
representing fruit of some sort,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I felt like the tree was just a good representation of you know, having a tree.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like nature, green. I don't know. It very much is a pretty, what is it? It's a literal board. It is a literal vision board.
That's the whole point though.
I know.
Right?
But like, it's not much deeper than the images that it represents. You know what I mean? Where like, I'm not like, all right, well, we look at, you know, the finger licking, that could be, you know, it could be the flavor of, you know, love in, you know, green could be, you know, whatever. It's nothing that deep.
Which I appreciate. I don't think, vision boards don't need to be that deep. They
don't. And there's also borders on it. So like the blue and the yellow, that's just filling space. The black is almost, I kind of wanted to do like like it's split in some way, but like, nah, it just looks cool. I just liked how it looked. Yeah. And then the border is just like, yeah, I wanted to fill the white spaces.
Do you feel like...
I'll leave this up here, I guess.
Do you feel like if you were to put this on the wall, it would help you...
visualize?
Yeah, or stay on track, or as it, like, do you think it would be a good reminder for you of, like, your goals?
No.
No? Okay.
I think that this was a good exercise in figuring out what the goals are.
Setting intentions.
And then maybe making a more specific board that's like, these are your goals. You know, kind of an affirmation sort of situation that I could put on a mirror that I see every day. Or like, you know, just reminding myself of things. Because looking at this, I mean, you know, it probably, but I might become numb to it. Looking at it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I think it was a good exercise for sure to figure out because I went into it so instinctually and didn't second guess anything, I felt like the goals that came to me were like raw, real, like the things that I actually wanted. community, food that we could grow ourselves, and love and giving back and just basically being a good person.
Yeah, isn't it kind of crazy that
like there's nothing
being
about
nice fills you with like being doing good
right.
makes you feel good.
Well, there's nothing about like money or fancy car or like nothing very
It's very true.
Like nothing came to me that was so, like money focused. And you know, I don't know if that's because I feel like with this move we're going to have everything that I've ever wanted. And then just growing and nurturing those things and not asking for any more.
Isn't it crazy that all that we've ever wanted is like just, you know, kind of, it's a very average life in all honesty, but in an average life filled with a lot of joy.
It's an average life filled with joy. And we have a crazy job.
Yeah. We got a weird, crazy job.
And we have crazy dreams, you know, that we want to do, but like also we are both okay with those things never happening. But if an opportunity came for us to pitch a TV show or, like, you know, whatever, we would take it.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I've talked about this before, and actually it was Sharp Balloons, who's an incredible balloon artist on Twitch, and she works sometimes with, like, with kids, and she does birthday parties, but she's just an insane artist with balloons. And she's worked with movies to do, like, premieres. Anyways, I was talking with her, or I had done an interview and she had done an interview. Mm-hmm. And I watched her interview back, and something she said really resonated with me, that she hasn't always worked the most stable jobs. And the line of work that she's chosen doesn't always have the best pay.
Right.
It might not be very much. She may be always getting by as opposed to thriving and hitting benchmarks and being able to afford nice things or fancy cars
think
or
of the shareholders.
Nice house or whatever the case may be. But that she has a lot of joy and she considers that joy as a part of her compensation. And that's something that I have always held also. And it wasn't really until she said it out loud that I was like, oh, yeah, that's a great way of explaining it, in that we find the joy that we get from creating, the freedom in our schedule, our, you know, not really having a boss, all of those things count as compensation for us to live a fulfilling and happy life, even if we can't afford, you know, big vacations, or we can't afford to, you know, have really nice clothes or whatever that some people may have as benchmarks for themselves of what they consider to be goals. We're more like, we can have a garden. That's amazing. Like, I'm so excited to do gardening.
Well, I mean, also, like, you know, one of my more recent dreams was to have like an old car, and we were talking about, you know, doing more activities in the community, doing more activities in general, and you've always had a love for kayaking and paddleboarding and those types of activities, and I've never really done them. Like, we went surfing that one time, and
we went wake surfing.
Wake surfing. We've been body surfing. Like, it's, but it, but I've never really kayaked or
which I think you will enjoy so much more.
No, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all.
You're not like a big fan of the water in the face, and there's not as much of that with
the kayaking. It's not as much the water in the face, it's more not touching the bottom, but I just need to get over that.
Yeah, well, you're not going to touch the bottom of a kayak either, but you're not going to feel like the waves are going over your head.
No, you go over the waves.
Yeah
but that was an exciting
prospect,
because the car that we were talking about was like a first generation Toyota 4Runner, which would be able to carry all that stuff. We could throw stuff in. It can get sandy. It can get gross because it's already like beat up probably. Yeah. And that's one of like my dream cars. Mm-hmm. Is like a 1987 little beater.
Yeah, I will. The one downside about the new house, which is it a downside? I mean, for us, I do like walking, and it is not in a walkable area. Like, there's nature to walk around in. The San Diego area has over 1,000 hiking trails.
Which is crazy.
Which is insane. Yeah. And there's, like, a hiking trail that's pretty close to our house. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, like, a couple blocks you have to walk down to go get to it. But
I think there's a couple. I was looking in the area, like, in the area, there's, like,
there's a couple.
Yeah.
So, but we'll have easy access, like, easy access to one of them.
Finally, I can start my bird watching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I just saw the stunt cat and thought Bert was up there for a second.
Oh, right. There's a stunt cat.
Oh, so, but we won't, there's literally nothing business-wise, really, within walking distance, so... I mean, I think technically, mostly because there's like a couple of big hills involved to where like we could walk, but it will probably be a 30 or 40 minute walk to places. And that is a little far.
Well, and that's why we were talking.
Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we were talking about getting a second car. But also we could get like a little moped or a little motorcycle.
Yeah. Or e-bike.
Or e-bike.
Kind of talked about an e-bike.
Yeah. You'd have to get a motorcycle license. If we got a little motorcycle, or I could just ride it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have to renew that license.
I don't think you do. I don't know. Like, I have a boating license. And you never have to renew a boating license.
Yeah. Maybe we should get a boat.
No.
Okay.
No.
We're not going to get a boat.
No.
Maybe you could drive somebody else's boat.
Maybe. I would want to practice again. I haven't driven a boat in a long time.
Oh, so you'd say it'd be helpful to renew the license.
I mean, I would just want to read. I mean, I have the book that has all the rules and stuff. I would probably review it before going out on a boat again because I'm not, like, in it. You know, because I care. Because I care and I want to do a good job. So I would review.
So after they call time, basically. They're like, pencils down, yeah. More or less. Like, drop your paper. And then... Everyone had the choice if they went around the circle, if everyone wanted to share their board. And everyone shared their board. And, of course, the little seven-year-old was like, can I go last? And it was so cute. But everyone shared their board. Everyone had, you know, fun aspirations. And there was a one couple that the guy has lived here. And she had moved from, I think, Maine or Pennsylvania. I forget now. Mm-hmm. Not that those are any similar, but that area. And I think she said she lived here for 6 weeks. And they had, I didn't really get the backstory if they had been long distance or if he was from there. I didn't know what their previous relationship was. But she basically had a lot of aspirations for travel around California, which is very interesting. And then so did he. And they weren't making their boards together. They were, like, separated. They were on either side of the table. So they weren't, like... And I didn't hear them talk one word to each other.
So they were excited that their views aligned?
Yeah, they were both very excited about... They were had similar vision boards. So that was a good thing. And then I forget what the mom had. The mom and the daughter. I forget what the mom... I think she was still working on hers or something. She's like, oh, it's a work in progress. And then there was a lady that was to my right that left early. But she was also acting kind of weird. Like, she brought a bunch of her own stuff, and then when I got there, she was, like, filled out her board almost already, and then she kind of, like, laid on the bench for 15 or 20 minutes, maybe, like, thinking.
Meditating
in some way, and then she kind of got up, paced around, and was like, I'm going to go, and then she left, like, an hour before. She left at, like, 7:30. So... That was interesting. So then I was like, are we just leaving when we want to? And then nobody else left, so I didn't really think too hard about it. And then there was one other lady on my left who was an elderly lady who was very passionate about gardening and her grandchildren.
Ooh.
But she had, like, she brought this little pouch, like plastic pouch that she put in the middle of it that she put seeds in. So it was like a reminder to plant new seeds or, like, new life or something like that. And I feel like... That was the lady that had done the vision boarding there before. So they knew each other, her and the instructor. But it was very interesting because, you know, it was a very candid look into people's dreams and hopes and aspirations. And
did anybody, was it just sharing or did anybody give, like, feedback or, like... snaps or something.
It was all it was sharing, you know, 30 seconds or less, probably what you did. I mean, I basically said we're moving, you know, I'm looking to do a cooking show. So it's a culinary journey. We want to do the community. Like I explained a little bit, but you know, I was nervous.
I know you're not big on public speaking.
No, but I was fine. I did it.
Yeah,
I did it. And then,
and especially public speaking about your feelings.
I know.
Oh, wow.
And then after I shared that, like then there was a little bit of talking afterwards with everybody. Like, you know, I was talking to the couple that.
Oh wait, what did the kid? What did the 7-year-old have on her?
Oh, the 7-year-old had. So it was very cute. She was eating a Ring Pop the whole time, so she had blue mouth.
Right.
So she was explaining to everybody with, you know, half her mouth empty of teeth and blue mouth, that she had three big pictures on her thing, on her vision board. One was makeup. The other one was a concert, and what was the other thing? I told you. I forgot now what the third thing was. But it was another third thing. I think it was dolls or like some sort of celebrity something or other. And it was like, it only filled up like a third of the board. And she was very proud of it. Yeah. Oh, she had a bunch of her gemstones on it too.
Right. Lots of gems.
Yeah. Lots of gems.
That makes a lot of sense.
Which it did make me feel really good that every time she offered gems to somebody, they would take gems.
Yeah.
Or by the end, like even I turned her down, but I was like, I think I have the perfect amount of gems right now. This is the perfect amount of gems. Thank you so much. And she, I mean, we went through almost all the gems. There were like maybe 3 or 4 gems left on them. It was a big piece of paper of gems. So that was nice, honestly. And then they kind of just started cleaning up and everyone wandered away and that was it.
Yeah, and then you came and joined me for the second half of a burlesque show.
Yeah, I came and joined you for the second half of a burlesque show. I was hungry.
We went and got pho.
Oh, we can make a phone, then we got sick.
And then we might have, you know, I was thinking, maybe it could have been either the bean sprouts or the shrimp rolls.
Oh, probably the shrimp rolls.
Yeah.
Because they probably don't make those. They might make them to order. I don't know, but there's also
shrimps.
The shrimps. They were cooked, but who knows how old they were.
I don't know. Both of us ended up with an upset stomach the next day.
Yeah, just a.
Just not great.
Yeah, food poisoning light.
Yeah, we were just like, something was wrong.
Yeah.
And because we both ate the spring rolls and we both ate the toppings for stuff, I was like, it's one of the two. And
right,
I know that bean sprouts are one of those kind of dangerous foods because of how they're grown.
Well, sometimes, like, if you get sick in some way or another and I don't, then I'm like, all right, so it's probably gluten, some celiac related. But if I get sick and you don't, then like I'm like, okay, what did I eat? What I have to really think back and what I ate. And then if we both get sick, it's much easier to figure out what it is.
Because there's not that much stuff.
The crossover is much smaller.
Yeah, especially if we've been out to eat.
Right.
There's probably only one or two things we both ate.
Also, that's not going to stop me from going to get pho again.
No.
Because it's quick. Well, it's affordable. It's hot.
I mean,
open till 2 a.m.
Also, we've been to pho so many times, and I have one negative experience. I'm not worried about it.
I think it's the first time we got the spring rolls there. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll make a note of that.
Well, I don't think we're going to end up going back to that particular location.
They have multiple locations.
That's true. They do. And Bill Clinton went there in the year 2000 or something?
It doesn't, no.
I don't know why.
On the menu, it says Bill Clinton came here and ate pho in Vietnam.
It's like Bill Clinton was eaten here.
Not a good thing to have on your menu.
It's so bizarre. I'm like, how old is this menu?
I mean, honestly, it'd be hilarious if instead of saying that they served and be like, Bill Clinton came to the one in Vietnam and we refused service. That's what I'd put on my menu.
I don't know.
If a celebrity came to our restaurant.
A celebrity? He was the president.
He might have not been the president at the time. They didn't say when he went. The restaurant's called Pho 2000.
No, it did say on there. That he went.
During his presidency?
I don't know if it was during his presidency because they referred to him as President Bill Clinton, but we say President Barack Obama because he was a president.
Right.
He's not the current president, but
no.
You still refer to him as President Barack Obama.
It's like a doctor.
Right. You just don't call him Mr. President anymore.
Mr. President.
Yeah.
Mr. Ex-President.
Mr. Former President. Although I do think calling someone Mr. President is so funny.
Mr. President?
Because if you're like, Mr. Butcher, Mr. Waiter.
Mr. Streamer.
Mr. Streamer.
Mr. Streamer. A couple of questions, Mr. Streamer. Yeah, where were you on that night?
How was the pho?
It was excellent.
You have the grumble guts later?
I didn't have the spring rolls, but I recommend.
I did not touch those spring rolls. I didn't touch them.
I did not go to the bath. That wasn't me.
It wasn't.
That wasn't me. It was one of my aides that ate the spring rolls and went to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Check it.
Although, speaking of that bathroom, I went to wash my hands and the water pressure was so hard. I turned the faucet on. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I
like it was splashing like, out of the sink.
Yeah.
I wonder how they do that.
I don't know. It was a very intense. I was like,
Well, what do you think about my vision board? Do you resonate with it? Do you have similar visions? Do you see my vision?
I feel like I see your vision.
Mm-hmm.
I you know what I find very interesting? Because based on you bringing this home, I was like, oh, I wonder if there was any magazine. It felt like it was probably going to be mostly women-oriented magazines. Mm-hmm. And then you're telling me that it really wasn't. It was a real mix of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, in general, it's a very positive energy. I think it's very light and bright, and it's got a lot of visions of beauty and kindness, and I appreciate that very much. I feel like a lot of men wouldn't necessarily have put together something so fun and lighthearted, and you know, I could see this being in a teenage girl's room, and she would be happy with it.
Thank you.
Which, no, I think it says a lot, though. I don't know. You weren't, what I would say is you were really going with the vibe, and I don't feel like you were trying to make it manly.
No, I was also not making it in a way of, like, I'm showing this to an audience.
Right.
This was for me, right?
Yeah. And I respect that a lot, because I know for me, and I will say this outright, I think that this is cool, right?
Really?
I think it's really neat. I really love what you did with the hand and everything. And I think it's cool. And I know that for me, if I was making something and then having to show it to people, I would be really concerned with getting everything to look right. And there is something about just doing it and not overly focusing on it that is so nice. And you can tell that it's just, you know, it was just the things that you saw that inspired you, and you just kind of cut them out. You did the whole thing. For me, I would probably be like, all right, how am I going to, I want to like have the colors transition and like be spending a lot of time looking for specific things, mm-hmm. as opposed to just choosing all the stuff that made me feel good.
It did, and still makes me feel good looking at it.
Yeah.
And I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, like this might, if hanging this up could inspire me that way. Now that I look at it more, because, you know, I had said it, I might get a little numb to it, but I don't know.
I mean, the goal isn't necessarily to hang it up and to be super inspired. It's more of a visual reminder of the intentions that you set. It's not necessarily like, oh, I'm going to check these things off,
right.
But more of a, you see it and you're like, oh, right. Like I'm, you know, like, you know, when things are getting harder or maybe there's something going on that you're not feeling good about, you're like, oh, right. I set a goal to engage in the community and I'm not doing that right now. So I should be engaging in the community more. It's going to make me feel better.
I just remember when I tried to explain the Paris well with pools to the crowd, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, we have a pool. We're not going to have a pool and then we're going to have a slip and slide. And like they were like, how old are you? Like, you have kids?
You've got so much gray hair.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's very, they're like, you want to slip and slide. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? So, my sister, said that she was considering getting us this dragon slip and slide from Costco as our housewarming gift. So we'll see.
Is it like inflatable dragon?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
We're going to have to find out. So overall, would you vision board again?
Yeah, I definitely would. And honestly, doing it in a group like that is fun because there's way more magazines. And you can like maybe bring your own magazines to share with everyone or whatever. Like if I did this again, I would find some magazines. We probably have some magazines around the house I could share. But like doing it by yourself, it's a little harder.
Yeah, I was thinking that like the benefit of it was that they had so many magazines.
Right.
When you told me that how many they had, I was like, yeah. Like I would want to go to an event like this too because we don't really get magazines.
I mean, it was probably a 20-foot picnic table just filled with magazines.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe we should go to one. I'm sure that there are some in the San Diego area also.
I'm sure, yeah.
So, like, I do see a lot of value in attending an event like this, like, especially if you enjoyed it and...
Well, and, like, so the tickets were $20, right?
It was, like, $23.
$23, including fees. Hi, Kiki. So it came in well below...
The $50.
The $50 maximum of these solo adventures together. And fortunately, the plant store was closed, so I couldn't get a souvenir.
I know.
But
I was hoping you could, though.
We could bank that $30. Hi, Kiki. To maybe for a plant. To kind
sure.
of represent the vision board in some way in the new garden. If it's not something that we could use for cocktails or something that maybe the coastal daisies
mm-hmm.
or something like that. I don't know. We could figure something out to do that, but...
Yeah. Well, it'll be my turn to go sometime in the next 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
to go to an event. That has not been planned yet, so I can't even give you any spoilers because I don't know either.
I don't know either.
I
have some ideas though.
If you enjoyed this, thank you so much for listening. If you are one of our early listeners or if you want to become an early listener, that means that you're listening on Fourth Wall. And they get the audio a week early. There is also a video available to our Fourth Wall members.
Yeah.
Also available a week early. So if you're interested in seeing the video of this, we're literally just sitting on the couch, but you know, you can see our facial expressions and all that jazz.
Well, and you can see the vision board while I point at it.
See the vision board while you point at it, yeah.
I feel like that's worth, you know, that's worth $10.
Yeah, a month. Please check out the Fourth Wall. If you want to see our live content, come by our live streams over at the Nurse Huckleberry on Twitch. That's where we do our main comedy cooking show together.
You said the Nurse Huckleberry. Nurse Huckleberry.
It's Nurse Huckleberry. I know.
You said the again. It's not the Nurse Huckleberry.
It's Nurse Huckleberry, but if you search it up, you'll find it, okay? Nurse Huckleberry.
All one word.
You'll find it on Twitch. So come... Check out the show. It's a great show. We have so much fun. It's late night. And I also stream at Nerd Huckleberry, where I do variety content. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'm crafting. Sometimes I'm doing my advice show. Sometimes I'm gaming. Sometimes I do a little bit of both.
Sometimes you're folding laundry.
Sometimes I'm folding laundry.
Sometimes you're just eating.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just kind of a hangout. It's a good time, though. It's really... been
great time.
So excellent.
Yeah.
I mean,
everyone's been having a great time.
The community's so rad.
And you could also join me on Duder VO, where we DJ, kind of. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to think that it's like not as much DJing as it is kind of a parody of DJing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we do song requests.
I think the more you start pushing into...
Musical creation.
The musical creation, you could probably remove yourself from the DJ category.
And the DJ program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they take 30% of earnings.
30% of earnings after Twitch already takes their cut. But there's a lot of fun over there. We have a lot of musical instruments, a lot of sound makers, a lot of, there's looping, there's a drum pad, there's lights and fun. And once we move, there's going to be even more stuff, like a fog machine and an electric drum set,
mm-hmm.
potentially. There's still not been a guarantee on that.
But
it's all three. That's also late night.
And then, of course... There's other content on our Fourth Wall memberships.
Mm-hmm.
There's behind-the-scenes footage. There's episodes of Otto and Rudy, which is our show within the show of Otto the Celebrity Shark Chef and Rudy the Donkey's Adventures.
How come Rudy doesn't have like a title, you know? What's his deal? Otto the Celebrity Shark Chef and then Rudy the Donkey.
Well, if we just called him Otto the Shark.
But we don't. We never do and
no,
never have.
No, because he's always been Otto the Celebrity Shark Chef.
Well, Rudy, you can't take away someone's
Rudy's
celebrity.
Rudy's a culinary school dropout. Okay, come on.
Right, but what's his job? Is he just a con man?
He's a donkey.
Okay. He's an ass.
He's an ass. Rudy the ass.
Rudy the ass.
Anyways, there's lots of stuff on the Fourth Wall memberships. And we also have behind-the-scenes footage of the YouTube channel, which you can also follow the YouTube channel, where we put up shorts, we put up different cooking videos, we put up all sorts of stuff.
It's going to be a studio
tour? Yeah, there's a studio tour that you're editing right now.
Oh, speaking of behind-the-scenes, there was a 15-minute rant about Nurse's mom before this, so not rant.
Not a rant. I was telling a story.
Yeah.
I was telling a story.
But that'll be posted. That'll be posted as a blooper or behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. So yeah, if you want to hear about, if you want to hear about these espresso cups, well, you can't see them. If you want to hear about some
espresso cups
made by a local potter and how that connects to my mom and your mom now.
Yeah.
You can always check out the behind the scenes stuff. It's all connected.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. It's always a pleasure to go out, have a reason, beyond just doing it, to have a reason to go out into the world and experience new things.
Yeah, well, I think it keeps us accountable for continually going out and doing it.
Yeah, I think so.
But and also, I think we've really enjoyed going out and doing the events.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm learning a lot about myself. I'm learning a lot about you. We're learning a lot about each other, about the community, about what is in the world.
Also, if you do this, let us know.
Yeah.
I would absolutely encourage couples or even if it's just like a pair of friends to go and do this and go to an event by yourself, whether it's being sent to the event by someone or just going to the event by yourself and then, you know, having designated time to recap what you did with a friend or a partner. Because it really, you know, I've learned so much about you through this. And, like, you know, I think it's stuff that we really wouldn't have chosen.
No. Well, it's crazy, too, because, like, there's so much more we can learn about each other even after being together for however long we've been together.
Yeah, 8 years.
8 years, thank you.
Yeah.
Seven or eight, I always forget. But just learning more about each other on just a deeper level, like, where it wouldn't necessarily be a super important thing or something I would ever ask about, right? So, like, we could go our entire relationship without learning these things. And it would still be a good relationship. But, like, I feel like this is just a stronger bonding adventure, like a side quest.
Yeah. I think also we're both pretty good at finding, like, even when things aren't particularly great event-wise, we're pretty good at finding, like, some silver lining or talking about the good, because even when it came to the synth expo, oh, it was a little tough to find some silver linings on, but you know.
Well, see, that's the thing, is it doesn't have to be a good event. It could be a bad event, but not on purpose.
No. All right, folks, that about does it for us. Thank you so much for watching. If you enjoyed this, if you're listening on someplace or you can give stars, please give it stars, because why not?
Leave a review.
Leave us, you know, you can always send me an email at, what is it, contact@Bortco?
Contact@Bortco.co.
Contact@Bortco.co. Send us an email.
Yeah, tell your moms.
Tell your mom. And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Okay, bye. Waving to the camera in audio only.
Yeah, I'll wave at you. Go, okay. Bye.
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 Bye. I'm going to go to the other part of the house now.
Okay.
Okay, bye.